Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 25. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The Bible says he's going to liken that generation to 10 virgins. And it says they went forth to meet the bridegroom. So evidently he's come. He's on his way. Here he comes. Now, the tribulation is going to be the heads up. It's almost like the clarion call that says the bridegroom's coming. We're in this last 7 years. And so, right away, what's really cool is in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, 144,000 Jewish evangelists are going to get converted almost immediately. I don't know if it's right when the tribulation starts at the signing of the covenant. Maybe it's right when the rapture happens. I don't know. But God's going to wake up a whole army of evangelists, 144,000 in number, that are not married, that are spotless, that have really good character, and they're just committed to God. They could be any of the number of the Jewish people, but it's these male evangelists. They're going to go out and they're going to gospelize the world. The greatest day of missionary outreach that we've ever known in the world was 70,000. They tell us around 70,000 missionaries were launched after World War II. The lion's share of those went out from the Americas because the men were overseas and they saw it. And I've told you that before. This is huge. 70,000 in the heyday of missionary activity. There's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And one man made a really interesting connection on this. Paul said, "I am an apostle born out of due season." And the word "out of due season" literally means born early. I don't know if he associated with 144,000, but they're going to be like 144,000 apostle Pauls, for crying out loud. They're going to be preaching their hearts out, and people are going to be getting saved in droves. If you read the rest of chapter 7 of Revelation, you find multitudes get saved during the tribulation. Now, many of them are coming out of the tribulation like, you know, Leroy Brown with a few pieces missing, because it's going to be hard for them as it is for everybody else. And many of them are going to have to pay with their lives to have faith. Well, the Bible says 5 of these 10 virgins were foolish and 5 were wise. Now, you may know that the word in the Greek for wisdom is the word Sophia. This is not that word. This is an interesting word. This is phronemos. The Bible tells us that 5 of them are wise. It's a very interesting word. It has the idea of somebody who is thoughtful, sagacious, which a sage, you know, having wisdom like that, discreet or having discretion. It's somebody who has acumen, which is like, you've heard of business acumen. It's somebody who can understand something quickly and make decisions quickly. It's somebody who's got that kind of thing. These are those kind of wise. And every time the word wise here is mentioned, it's mentioned with that word in this passage. It's not Sophia, it's phronemos. And so you have this concept of in the inner gut, as it were, these individuals are able to discern and understand. And so the Bible says that 5 were wise. They were going to understand quickly whoever these 5 represent, and 5 are foolish. And I think one of the things you and I have to be in our generation is wise. We have to make quick decisions. We have to be able to look at our world, and we have to be able to discern what's going on. And you, can I just tell you, you can't do that if you don't know the Bible. You got to know the Bible. God's calling his people back to the Word of God. You have to get in there. You have to read it. You have to study it. I was talking to a brother this past week. He was saying, "Well, tell me about this." And he was asking questions, and they were deep questions. Why? Because he'd been studying his Bible, and he had some good questions. And I want you to know, you ought to have some questions. You know, you dig in there. Let yourself be baffled for a couple of weeks. It's okay. I like what Spurgeon said, "Never doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light." You have to begin to use those instruments, you know. They tell us that an airplane, you know, they're up there, they don't know what's what going on with the clouds come in. They got to trust the instruments. Your Bible is your instrument. You've got a navigational system right there in your lap this morning. So take advantage of it. The Bible says that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the Bible says in verse 3 that the foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, we know that the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. they anointed priests, and it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming on them in the Old Testament. You and I, when we get saved, the Bible says we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. We've all been immersed by the Holy Spirit. His presence is like the symbol of the Old Testament's reality, okay? We have the Holy Spirit. They had the oil. Sometimes the Spirit would come. Sometimes He'd go on them. He ain't leaving with you and me. Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We can quench Him, we can grieve Him, and we can be filled with Him. I opt for number three. Let's stir up the Spirit of God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And I've got to say, do we? You know, because if we don't know our Bibles, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 that we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, singing, making melody in our hearts and all that, and just be filled with the Spirit. But the Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in Colossians, the sister letter. So they're together, okay? If you're filled with the Word, you can be filled with the Spirit. Now, when you first get saved, you may be filled with the Spirit on that little bite you got called salvation. That was good, man. Some more of that. I don't know if you like certain things, but man, I was getting tired of fast food. I was working tens last week, and I was eating fast food. And man, we went and got some pizza the other day. I was like, yeah, I have some more of that. I just want you to know, when you get the salvation thing going on, you feel like you're all lit up and you got all you need. But then after a while, you start saying, what else is there in there, you know? I don't know about you, but my son-in-law takes his kids out for that Halloween thing, right? They get all this, you know, it is a thing. And they get the candy, lay it out, and dad gets first dibs, you know? What else you got in there, okay? So I just want you to know, there's a lot more in that book. There's a lot more in that book. And when you get to seeing it, it can be really a fortification to your faith. The Bible says in verse 27 of chapter 2, in 1 John, I'm telling you about the anointing. The Bible says, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is what? No lie. Isn't that refreshing? And is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. Did you hear that? The lie, the deceiver? That's what the devil does. The devil's all about the lie. Do you think it's anything to be marveling at that the world would lie to us? I mean, that's just what they do, okay? And we've all been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. We've been part of that world. We were part of the god of this world system. He's the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. He blinds the eyes of those who abide in the world. So I wanted you to see that this oil represents the Holy Spirit. Now, these foolish virgins, the Bible says, took no oil. That means that they were basically playing church. Virgins, they were chaste and, you know, moral. So you kind of have a religious person here, somebody who's a good person, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible goes on to say, of these people, five were wise. Five of the wise, in verse 4, took oil in the vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, and behold, the bridegroom cometh, it says. Go ye out for to meet him. Then all the virgins arose. Now notice, all of them fell asleep. Why? Because it was a long time. It was a long, 2,000 years. That's a long time. But when the Lord does get ready to come, as we believe He is at this time, He's really getting things heated up to a fever pitch on all the activities we're looking for. And I just want you to know that as you look at this, these five foolish virgins, they don't have oil, but the five wise do. At least they had that. Now, isn't it just like us? Yes, we know Jesus. Yes, we love Jesus. Yes, we want to please Jesus. But then you get out of bed. And you stub your toe, or, you know, something doesn't go right. The coffee pot didn't start, or, you know, the car's messed up. And, you know, all of a sudden you're all in the flesh, you know. It's like a bad day. And my point is that we're all subject to this flesh. Paul himself said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? So it's okay to stumble and fall. Just don't stay down. Get up. In fact, he ended chapter 24 with the idea of watch. Stay awake. But here he's saying, five foolish, five wise. And he says, then all the virgins in verse 7 arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us some of your oil. Now, you can't pass that on. My kids cannot be saved because I'm saved. Okay? Your husband or wife can't be saved because you're saved. They got to be saved for themselves. That's between them and Jesus. I mean, it's not a negotiable thing. Jesus didn't make this complicated. You trust Jesus. You follow him in baptism. You serve him in your day-to-day in whatever way you can find. You just do the basics. I mean, how hard is that? I always think it's funny when people won't be baptized when God has saved them. They're like, well, you know, that's that getting saved thing. I'm excited about that, but I'm not going to get baptized. Man, my hair would be messed. You know, whatever. I don't like to be up in front of people. Well, listen, Jesus hung naked on a cross. Can I just tell you? So basically, these foolish virgins didn't have any oil, and the wise did. They couldn't share. In fact, they didn't have enough. They were worried we might not have enough. Now, I want you to know something about Jesus. When he saves us, we get all of him. And if you know your Bible, you know that. The Bible says you are complete in him in the book of Colossians. Isn't that good to know? We're complete in him. The Bible says in verse 9, but the wise answer said, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And the word sell is an interesting word. It actually has the idea of bartering. Go and barter with them. Figure that one out. Now, I don't know how you feel about your salvation, but when I trusted the Lord, you know, he gave me salvation and I gave him my life. There's sort of a transaction that takes there. Now, I haven't been perfect about that, as none of us are. You know, the Bible says we are living sacrifices. The problem with living sacrifices is they tend to keep getting down off of the altar. Okay, so you might find yourself getting off the altar, but listen, you're still his. You're still his. You belong to him, okay? My beloved is mine, and I am my beloved's, the Shulamite said. You know, this is what it's about. We have a relationship with him. He loves us. He's the bridegroom. Listen, we're the bride. He is in love with us. And as much as we may mess up, as much as we may burn the cake, you know, burn the meat, as we are in this new relationship, we might mess things up. He comes in and he eats what we provide anyway. He affiliates with us. He loves us. He hugs us. He wipes the tear away. And he says, it's okay, sweetheart. I love you. That's our Jesus, okay? He's our bridegroom and we're the bride. Well, these women are, they're worried. So the ones, the Bible says in verse 10, while the foolish went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, underline that. The door was shut. Now, this is not the same, even though it's going to have some similar feelings, it's not the same as the Sermon on the Mount. And look what I'm saying here. Verse 11 says, afterward came also the other virgins, these foolish ones, and they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. You remember that word, Lord, Lord? That's chapter 7 of Matthew. He was telling us that many will come in that day. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many things? And he's going to say, I never knew you. That's those people. That's the last people. That's probably the church people. He's talking about, here's what I'm doing. I'm building my church. Here's what the people who are citizenry of this kingdom are, look like. They you know, they mourn. They have mercy. They're persecuted. You know, all the things in the Beatitudes. But then at the end, some of them come and say, we did many things. We did many things. We did many things. Listen, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, you did everything, okay? Anything I did, it didn't get all muddied and messed up, you know? I dropped a French fry the other day, and it broke my heart. I'm just saying. It got dirty. It was, you know, but, you know, I just want you to know that what I have to give is not really what it was important. It's what he gave. And many times what we say, didn't we do something? The Bible says when you've done all that, what? You're supposed to say, we're just servants. We did what was our duty to do. And even though we dropped the French fries off the plate onto the floor, you know, God understands that we were crippled. You guys may remember that story of the man who had three daughters. He was away from home quite often. And whenever he got home, the girls just ran to see him. The problem was their littlest one was crippled badly. And that little one was having trouble getting to daddy, but every time she desired to get there. So this time she's coming off of this porch and she sees some flowers. She grabs those flowers and she inches her way to daddy. When daddy got her, she holds out a crumpled bunch of flowers. And he loved those flowers.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage, We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.